Welcome to the Encounter Community Church podcast, where you will hear messages that will be uplifting and encouraging that you can also take and apply to your everyday life.
Well, I've got an announcement to make. My granddaughter had a baby yesterday, baby girl named Morgan. I'm a great-grandfather. I don't know if that's possible. I'm only 39. But everything's going well. She's in living in Las Vegas, so my son Mike went to see her yesterday, so everything's going fine with the baby. Amen. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking into a series titled Fake News. Fake News, Exposing the Lies We Live By. With the rise of the internet and with social media and all that stuff, you know, there's this thing that's come about called fake news. And fake news, they get it up on the internet so fast that it doesn't get fact-checked. Millions of people begin to believe it, and it's just spread all over the place before you can know what's happening. You know, there's this fake news story going on. And we hear that sentence, something like that, seems like three or four times a week now. It's all over the news because the president is in a fight with the media, tweeting and retweeting and arguments and accusations. It's pretty crazy because we don't know what's really fake news and what's true. You know, I can hear you guys out there thinking. Oh no, Stan's going to go off on some four-week series, politically based, all about Trump and the media. He said, she said, and all that kind of stuff. Well, no. This is not what this series is going to be about. Although that tweeting and retweeting and bickering, I think it's horrible and it's not presidential, and I don't like it. I think it's just ridiculous. What I want to talk about is the most damaging fake news of all. It's not about headlines. It's about hearts. The most destructive fake news of all is the fake news that Satan posts in our minds. It goes viral. It goes into our hearts sometimes. He's continually tweeting our hearts, throwing stuff into our minds, putting these things in our minds so we'll be thinking about it. We've got to be careful to not start believing those fake tweets. It really can mess up your lives. Here's the thing. So many things that look real, things that seem real, things that feel real, just aren't true. They just aren't real. It can be that we just got a piece of the perspective. We just got a small part of it. Maybe we got the wrong perspective on it, or maybe we don't have the whole picture of what we're looking at. Maybe we start to experience something in our lives, and boom, we jump to conclusions. I know I've been guilty of that more times than I should have in my life, and it's not nice, and it's not good, and you have to go back and apologize for it, and things like that. We can start to believe those lies that the enemy posts in our minds. It gets into our hearts. It gets into our lives. It can derail our relationships. It can derail our relationship with God and mess up our lives even. Okay, we've been talking about how sometimes we're seeing only a partial perspective. Sometimes we don't get the whole picture. Sometimes we have a limited viewpoint on things that we see, or a fake perspective. I mean, you can even look at things sometimes like an optical illusion that begins swirling around in your brain. It can be hard to see what's truly real. It can be hard to see what's right and what is wrong. That reminds me of one of my customers called Tony's Cleaners. Tony's Cleaners is on Whittier Boulevard up in Whittier near Kalima Road. And, you know, very first time that I went on this roof at Tony's Cleaners, I've been going there every other month for over 30 years. He's out of business now, but for over 30 years I went on this roof every other month. And when I clean a water tower, when I clean the equipment that I go up there, I drain the old water out. It goes down the roof drain. This particular time goes across the little parking lot, and then it goes down the alley to the storm sewer. Well, at Tony's Cleaners, if you look over the edge of the roof and you look at that water going down the alley, you would swear that it's going uphill. I mean, you swear it's going uphill. It just amazes me. It's an optical illusion. It's an optical illusion. I've shown this to 10 or 15 people over the years, and every one of them says the same thing. This water looks like it's going uphill. You cannot always trust what you think you see. You can't always trust it. It's true at Coney's Cleaners, and it can be true in your life as well. That brings me to my first sermon note, which we might see a couple other times in this series. And it says, there may be times when we need to get a new perspective on something that we think is true. Don't get me wrong. Most of the things that you see in your life, most of the things you see, and you see them right, and that's the way it is. And we can see a cold, hard fact. Facts don't change like that. Something like Jesus is God. I don't care if you look at that sideways or upside down. Jesus is God. That's a fact. But once in a while, it doesn't hurt to run to the other side of the roof and take a look at the perspective from over there to see if that water is still running uphill. You know what I mean? You need sometimes to step back and get a new perspective. If we always continue to look at something from one little human perspective, we could believe that something is true that's not true. It's possible we can get sucked into Satan's lies because something looks true in your life. Something feels true or seems true, but they are just fake news stories that Satan is posting in your mind and in your heart, trying to get it to go viral in your life so it upsets your life and it upsets your relationship with God. We need to be on guard against starting to live out something that Satan has posted in our brain. In this series, Fake News, I want to expose some of the biggest lies that can mess up our lives. It can mess up our lives if we begin to believe those lies of Satan. I'm excited about this series, excited about what God is going to do in our lives. Our next note is, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." God can set us free. God can take us to a new level. God can help us see the eternal perspective. When you see it from a ground level perspective, no matter what it is, when you see something from just the ground level perspective, you problems can get blown out of proportion when you do that. They can become so big that they cover your whole screen. You know, it's like you've got blinders on, or like you've got tunnel vision. That's all you can see, and that's all you know, and you start to focus on something like that. I'd say some of us walked in here this morning with a burden on our mind. Some of us probably have. There's that barrier, that problem, that hurt, that pain, that struggle. These things can seem so big that you start to believe that you'll never be able to get through it. I want you to take a breath. Step back. It could be that you're looking at something from the ground level only. You're getting just one little camera angle of what you're seeing. and you're seeing fake news. Next slide. What you need is God's eternal picture, a God-level perspective. God wants to give us that. He wants to give us that. Because when you get a God-level perspective, you know the truth, and the truth sets you free. It changes your life, and it changes your relationships and everything around you. Right now, I take a quick look at the enemy's oldest fake news story. His oldest fake news story. It started with Adam and Eve, and the headline reads, and it's the title of the message, and we're going to see this line two or three times today. And it says, God doesn't really care about your struggle. God doesn't care about your problems, your pain. God doesn't care about the details of your life. He's too busy running the universe. He's too busy running the universe. It can come out like, God doesn't have the time. That's how it can come out in your brain. It can be, how can he be caring when he doesn't stop all of the pain in the world? Something might flash into our minds. Something we might just think. We know it's not true, but we might think he can be uncaring. That's not true. That's something that Satan posts in your mind. Well, God put Adam and Eve in paradise. He says, you guys enjoy this place. He says, there's only one thing you can't do. You cannot eat the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God went on and said, because if you do, if you eat it, you will surely die. So Adam and Eve avoided that tree like the plague. They never went anywhere near that tree. They stayed away from that tree forever. No, they didn't. Boom, they go straight to the tree. I mean, they make a beeline to that tree. That's when Satan knows that he's got an opening. He asked a simple, seemingly harmless question. Why aren't you eating this fruit? It's good fruit. I think it's the best fruit in the garden. Did God tell you if you ate this fruit, you were going to die? Well, that's a lie, Satan says. You won't die. You'll just become like God. God knows that. He's just protecting his interest. God doesn't care about you. That's what Satan says. God doesn't care about you. We know the story. You know, they believe the lie. They disobey God. It's man's oldest problem. Man is trying to be God. He's trying to be God. We think sometimes that we know better than God. We think sometimes that we can make better decisions than God can make. So we start to call the shots. We try to control our life. It's like that old Dr. Phil line. When something is, we believe the lie and we try to start controlling our own mind. Dr. Phil says, when people start doing something stupid like that, Dr. Phil says, how's that working for you? You know, I've done it too many times and it doesn't work very well. It doesn't work very well. The reality is when God says don't do something, it's because he loves us so much, not because he wants to stifle our fun. He doesn't do it for that reason. When I take my granddaughter and my grandson and I walk them across the street, I grab their hand and I grab it tight. I grab it tight because I want to hurt their hand. I want them to know that I'm in control. You know, that's why I grabbed their hand like that. No, not that. That's not the reason. It's for their safety. It's because I love them. And it's the same with God. We need to believe the truth that God cares. Here's some fake news. It's the next line. You're the only one. Satan will post that in your mind. You're the only one. You know, I'm the only one that's got this problem. If you believe that headline, you're going to get off track. No one else has gone through what I'm going through. No one understands. I'm the only one. I'm the only one. Reality is, everyone has hurts in their life. Everyone. If you're not having a problem right now, it probably hasn't been long since you had one, or it won't be long until you've got some kind of struggle going on in your life. We're all broken in some way or another. We're not alone in carrying hurts in our lives. Satan will try to tell you that you're the only one. Don't believe that lie of the devil. In reality, the next note is, it's the hurt that turns us to the healer. It's the hurt that turns us to God. Everyone's hurting, but it's the hurt that God allows. You see, the hurt that God allows in our life that pushes me, that turns me, that sends me to His arms so that He can help me with it, because He's the only one that can help. He's the only one that can really heal me. Another line says, next sermon note, things will never change. Things will never change. It's another fake headline. It goes from, you're the only one, to now things will never change. This is always the way it's going to be. I'm going to be stuck in this habit forever. I'm going to be stuck in this destructive sin. I'm going to be facing this problem for a long time. I'll never get through this problem that I'm going through. I'll always be stuck in this depression, this pain, this loss. We start to believe the fake news story that Satan posts in our minds. You come back to the main idea. It's the same note. God doesn't care about your struggle. Keep coming back to that. God doesn't care about your struggle. So look at that for a moment. As Christ followers, we probably don't say that. We don't say that sentence out loud because we know it's not true. So we don't say that. God doesn't care about my struggles. But sometimes we feel that way. Sometimes we feel that way. And it can come out in the question, why? Why, God, have you allowed this pain in my life? Why, God, didn't you stop this? Why have you allowed this problem, this loss, this struggle in my life? It's not fair. It's not fair, God. It doesn't make sense. How can this work out for good in my life? It can come out like, you don't care that blank. Then whatever it is you're going through, you fill in that blank. God, you don't care that whatever. Remember when Jesus was in the fishing boat and he was with his disciples on the Sea of Galilee, and a huge storm comes up on the sea and it's getting bad and the waves are coming over the boat and they think the boat's going to sink, and the disciples are freaking out and Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat. And they go back to Jesus, and they say, Jesus, wake up, Jesus, wake up. And they ask Him this all-important question. Jesus, don't you care that we're about to drown? Well, isn't that the question we ask when we're in the storms of our life? We let Him know, Lord, I'm about to go under here. Lord, you got to help me. You got to help me get through this. Lord, take this problem away from me. I can't handle it anymore. Maybe it crosses our mind for just a split second. God doesn't care. He doesn't care what I'm going through. Of course, that night on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus stood up and He calmed the waves and He calmed the sea to show that God cares. And He cares about you. Although He might not stop that problem in your life exactly when you ask Him, it might still continue on. It might have to wait to get that problem solved down the line somewhere. You might not know why that it happened until later. You may not even know why this thing happened in your life till you go home to be with the Lord. But God cares. We've seen some of the fake news stories our enemy can slip into our minds. Now we're going to look at a portion of Scripture that Jesus read one day in the synagogue. This fake news that, that Satan uses to sabotage our lives with, we're going to look at the other side of that now. Follow on the screen or turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21. It says he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus, says there in verse 18, Jesus has been appointed to preach good news that day in his hometown synagogue. Jesus shared good news that blew away the fake news story that God doesn't care about us. There's several things that we can learn from this passage. Next note is, number one, God knows about your struggle. He knows. Maybe nobody else knows. But God knows. God knows about your struggle. We just saw where Jesus went to his hometown synagogue. He had been doing that at other places. All the towns and villages that he went to on the Sabbath day, he would go to the synagogue. And invariably they would ask him to stand up and speak or to read the scriptures that day and talk about it. And they knew that in Nazareth as well, where he went to his hometown. And the people there probably said something like, "Jesus, this Jesus is a great speaker. We need to have him as our guest preacher today." So they called him up and handed him the scripture. They were in the book of Isaiah. See, back in the Old Testament, they always took up every Sabbath day, they would have a scripture reading. And they would, the person reading the scripture would take up from where the last person left off. So they would just continue through the scriptures that way. And this day, they handed Jesus the book of Isaiah. And Jesus read this passage from where the guy had left off before. It was no coincidence. I don't believe it was a coincidence that they were at that exact place on that exact day at that exact time. I think Jesus planned that before the foundation of the world, that they would be right there. This was a passage of prophecy about him. It was about him. Isn't that amazing? That he gets to read right where they're talking about him. He knows everything that's going to go on. He knew about that. And he knows about you. He knows about you. Every detail. He knows the struggle that you're going through in your life. And you are not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone in that. At the end of what Jesus read that day, he said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled." As in, this is about me. I'm here. I was reading this, and this is about me. I'm the Savior, and I'm here today. I have people say to me once in a while, maybe, "Pastor, how did you know what I needed to hear today? That sermon at home, that sermon was directed right at me." I don't know. I'm not hacking your email. God knows. And God speaks through his word. God knows. He's never far from you, like you might begin to think if you begin to believe the lies that Satan posts in your mind sometimes. You might have that kind of thinking if you start listening to the fake news from Satan. Our next sermon note. Number two, God understands what you're going through. God understands what you're going through. God not only knows, but God understands what you're going through. Put verse 18, Luke 4, 18 back up on the screen. I want to read that one more time. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed. Jesus said, I came for those that are poor, that know they're poor. I came for those that know they're bankrupt spiritually. He wasn't talking about just those who were in poverty financially. He was talking about those who were poor in spirit. Every one of us are broken and poor in spirit without him. If you don't have him in your heart, if you don't have him in your life, you are broken. You're broken. Do you have him living in your heart? Have you accepted him as your Savior and Lord? If not, there is no greater need that you have. There is no greater need in this world than the need of having Jesus as your Savior. There's no problem that you have in your life that compares with that problem. The good news is that you can solve that problem this morning. You can solve that problem right now by asking Jesus to come into your heart, to come into your life and save you. Please speak to me at the end of this service if you have that need. Jesus came for those that admit that they're broken and that they need a healer. He says, that's who I am. I'm the healer. I'm the healer. As our high priest, he understands. He understands our weaknesses. He understands our problems. He understands what we're going through. Third point, God cares about your pain. He cares about your pain. God knows, God understands, God cares. God cares about your pain. Jesus said, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. There are some wounds that only Jesus can heal. We have great doctors and nurses, and God uses them in mighty ways to heal all kinds of things, to bring healing to a lot of people. But God is the healer. God wants to heal your heart today. He wants to heal it today. You may not have another opportunity, you never know. Put Psalm 34:18 up on the screen. Let's read that. Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. If your heart is broken, if you're wounded and bleeding, if you've begun to realize that you don't actually have Jesus living in your heart, just know that God is closer to you right now than he's ever been. Fake news would tell you that he's millions of miles away and that he doesn't care. No. No. God is right here, right now, and he's closer to you than he's ever been. He's closer to you than ever. I'm going to put our last sermon note on the board. God has the power to heal and change you. I'm so glad that God is not just some kindly grandfather in the sky who goes, I really wish I could help. I love you. I care about you. But I'm powerless. I can't really help you. No. God has the power to help you. He has the power to heal, and he has the power to save. He may be speaking about that exact thing to someone here right now. He's the healer. He's here. He's calling those that are hurting, turn to Him. He's calling those that have never accepted Him as their Savior, turn to Him. He is ready. He is here and He is ready. Come to Him. Let those hurts turn you to the only one that can truly heal you. That's Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Lord, everybody's eyes closed and everybody's head bowed. Lord, I know that in a crowd this size, there are people with problems and hurts. I don't know the depth of those hurts. I don't know the depth of them. I may not understand the scope of those problems, God. But Lord, I'm thankful that You know and that You understand completely. You're here today. Thank You for that. You care deeply. Your love is beyond our comprehension. It's only You that has the power to heal and transform lives. I pray that You would bring that healing power to this place right now, Father. Heal in whatever ways are needed. But Lord, most of all, bring spiritual healing and salvation. I pray for those that have never received You, that they would pray this prayer silently. I pray that there's someone, dear Father God, here in this place this morning that doesn't know You as their Savior, that they would pray this prayer silently after me, Lord. Jesus, I don't want to play God. I give control to You right now. I know that You bled and died on the cross to pay for my sins. Please forgive me of those sins. Please come into my heart and save me now. Fill me with Your love. Father, fill me with Your purpose and meaning. Take me to heaven one day for eternity. Heal me and make me whole. Thank You, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank You, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for taking a moment to listen to one of the messages here at Encounter Community Church. And if you're looking for ways to be able to grow and develop spiritually, please feel free to head over to our website at encountercommunity.church and check out some of the tools that we have that you can utilize and apply in your life. And while you're there, feel free to browse through the site to see what Encounter is all about, and we would love to see you at one of our services. And if you want to continue to support us so we can put more messages on like this one, feel free to click the link that says online giving and choose the amount that you would like to give. And if this has been a blessing to you, please feel free to share with a friend or family member. Well, take care. God bless you and have a great day.